A long time ago, not too long time ago, this is in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, that wasn't that long ago. There was a Yid named Reb Baruch who lived in the faraway place called Uman. Not Omein, but Uman. In the faraway place of Uman, not Omein, but Uman, lived a very special Yid named Reb Baruch, and he was very special in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim. He did Hachnasas Orachim in a very special way. First of all, Hashem benched him to be a very rich man. He shared his money with people that needed a place to stay. He gave them a beautiful room in his house or in his big gigantic yard. There were a few houses out there also, and he might give a whole family their own house to stay in for as long as they wanted to stay by Reb Baruch. He wouldn't ask them when they're leaving. He would let them stay for Shabbos, or during the week, or for the next Shabbos, whatever they needed, however long they needed to stay, they would stay. And he would give them food. And if the Kinelach needed clothing, he would give them clothing. And if the Tati or the family needed a new horse, he took him to the barn or to the field where he had his horses, and he gave them a brand new horse. Can you imagine if you go to stay by somebody and you need a new car, and they say, here's a new car for you. I see your old car is not so good anymore. Here's a brand new car. How would you feel if somebody just gave you a brand new car? Boy, would you say thank you. This Reb Baruch was a very special Yid. And this is during the time of the Baal Shem Tov. But as we know, during the Baal Shem Tov's time, there were two times of the Baal Shem Tov. Before the Baal Shem Tov was 36 years old, and after the Baal Shem Tov was 36 years old. What was the difference in the Baal Shem Tov before he was 36 years old and after he was 36 years old? Do you know what the difference was? Let's ask over here a boy who knows the difference before and after the Baal Shem Tov was 36 years old.
Before he was 36 years old, he was a hidden tzaddik.
And after he was 36 years old?
He wasn't a hidden tzaddik.
He what? Wait, that pizza's pretty good over there. After he was 36 years old?
He wasn't a hidden tzaddik.
Okay. Well, actually, by the Baal Shem Tov, there was no difference. He was a tzaddik before he was 36, and he was a big tzaddik after he was 36. But Hashem did not want anybody to know that he was a tzaddik until he was 36 years old. He was a hidden tzaddik, and nobody knew that he was special. Everybody thought he was just a regular, simple Yid. And afterwards, Hashem wanted him to be known, and the Yidden should know who he is, and he became a revealed, open tzaddik. This is during the time that the Baal Shem Tov was like a simple Jew. His job was to take a wagon, to pile mud in the wagon, and he schlepped the wagon, of course the horse he would schlep the wagon to the town. And the Baal Shem Tov would say, who wants to buy cement? Who wants to buy cement? Now the mud was sticky mud that could be used for cement. If somebody is building something out of bricks and they need to stick the bricks together, they need cement. Well, do you think this is a an easy job or a hard job? This is a hard job. Do you make a lot of money selling mud to people or a little bit of money? Okay, the Baal Shem Tov was a poor man. He worked very hard. His horsey also worked very hard to schlep that wagon. And this is how the Baal Shem Tov was making a living, a few pennies a day. And after a while, the horsey got old, and the horsey got weak. And if the wagon was empty, the horsey could hardly pull the wagon. What about when the wagon is full of mud? How do you think the horsey felt when he was pulling that wagon?
Bad.
The horsey didn't feel too good. And in fact, the horsey could hardly even pull that wagon. And it came one day, the horsey couldn't pull the wagon. It was too much for the horsey to pull that wagon. And the Baal Shem Tov needs a new horsey to pull the wagon of mud. But to go and buy a new horsey is like buying a new car. Too much money. Without a horsey, he can't do his job. What's going to be? And on that day, the Baal Shem Tov heard about Reb Baruch of Uman, a special yid who takes guests and treats them very nicely and even gives them a new horsey if they need it. And the Baal Shem Tov tells his wife, let's travel to Uman and maybe we can get a new horse because we can't afford to buy one. And this Reb Baruch sounds like a very nice man. We'll stay there for a while. Hopefully I'll get a new horse and I'll be able to go and do my work. And so the Baal Shem Tov and his wife got into the wagon. No mud, just them. And the horsey, the old horsey, was able to go slowly, of course. It was an old horse. So, of course, the horse could not go so fast, so it went slow. And they traveled on the roads until they came to Uman. And they asked, where is Reb Baruch, who is special in Haknosas Orachim? And of course they point to a beautiful, nice, big, gigantical house in a big yard. And over there is Reb Baruch's house. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, on Funday, let's start quietly so we don't have to waste time. And we'll continue with a very interesting, brand new story. And the Baal Shem Tov and his wife and the old horsey and the old wagon are driving on the long road to Uman, to the house of Reb Baruch. And they arrive to the house of Reb Baruch, a beautiful, nice house with a big mezuzah on the door. And they knock on the door, and the servant lets them in. And they go to Reb Baruch, and Reb Baruch is so happy to see two guests to come to his house. And he takes the Baal Shem Tov and his wife into his yard. And in his yard, there was not just trees and flowers and plants, but there were even houses in his yard, littler houses than the big house that Reb Baruch lives in. And he had special houses just for Orachim. He gives them a whole house. And they go into the little house, and it's beautiful. And everything is so clean and nice. And there's even nice cake and nice juice on the table. And everything is so nice with furniture and beds with pillows and blankets. And Reb Baruch says, did you bring a horse? The Baal Shem Tov says, well, yes, I brought my horse and wagon. Reb Baruch says, let's take the horsey to the barn and give the horsey to eat. And Reb Baruch sees the horse and the wagon. and he sees in the wagon is dried up mud. He says, what do you do with the horse and wagon? The Baal Shem Tov says, well, for a living, I schlep cement from where we get it in the country, and I take it to the town to sell to people that need cement and mud. And Reb Baruch says, this old horse, it must be very difficult for him to pull the wagon with the cement. The Baal Shem Tov says, that's right. It's even difficult for him to pull the wagon if it's empty. And Reb Baruch says, I think you need a new horse. And he takes him out to the place in the yard where his horse he's running around. And he says, how about that one over there? Let's give you that new horse. And the old one could be here in my big yard. And he could have good food to eat. And we'll take care of him. Now, Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov was so happy and so thankful to Hashem, and of course thankful to Reb Baruch, that he gives him a brand new horse, just like you get a brand new car. And now the Baal Shem Tov goes to his little house, and they're staying there. And it was almost Shabbos, and Reb Baruch said, please stay for Shabbos. And they stayed for Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos. Now, there were many other Orachim there. They had their own minyan. They all ate together in Reb Baruch's house by his beautiful table. They sang together. They ate together. The most beautiful, delicious meal and wine and challahs and delicious things. And on the day of Shabbos, there was learning, there was davening. A beautiful Shabbos meal, Nigunim, Divrei Torah, a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. That day, Reb Baruch took a long nap. And at the end of Shabbos, and Moitzi Shabbos, they had a Malava Malka. People went to sleep. It was Moitzi Shabbos. Well, Reb Baruch, he absolutely was wide awake because he had such a long nap on Shabbos day. And he was in the house. It was very quiet because people had gone to sleep. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and Reb Baruch is up with a sefer learning Torah by the table. All of a sudden, Reb Baruch looks up to the window. Now, if you look out the window at 1 o'clock in the morning, especially in the country, not in the city where there's a lot of lights and stuff, what do you see out the window 1 o'clock in the morning in a very quiet place? What do you see?
It's very dark.
It's very dark. All you see is dark. You probably don't see anything. If the moon is shining, maybe you see something in the moonlight, and that's about it. All of a sudden, Reb Baruch sees some kind of a light. He thinks to himself, the sun is coming up. What kind of a light? It looks like a sunlight. And he looks at the clock. In those days, there were clocks. Not exactly electric clocks, but they had clocks. 1 o'clock in the morning. The sun doesn't come up 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, maybe it's the moon shining. Boys, it was the end of the month. Just like now, it's actually the very beginning of the month, but at the end of the month and the very beginning of the month, is there a big moon shining out in the sky? Or it's like a little tiny banana? What does the moon look like at the very end of a month? Or like now, it's only the second day of the month. What does it look like?
By the end of the month, it's big and round.
It's what?
It's round.
Well, the moon is always round, but what does it look like to us on the world looking at the moon at the very end of the month, or like now, the very beginning of the month? What does it look like?
A teeny tiny moon.
A teeny tiny moon. What shape is the teeny tiny moon?
Like a banana.
Like a little skinny banana. That's all it is. Like a sliver in the sky. Is that enough to make a big light like the sun shining? No way. And all of a sudden, Reb Baruch says, if it's not the sun shining, and it's not the moon shining, uh-oh, I hope it's not a fire. He got worried. Maybe it's a fire in one of the houses outside in the yard. And he runs to the window. Shh. And he looks out the window. And he sees in one of the little houses in the yard, there's a bright light coming out. Shh. And he says, that's strange. The candles are out. And even if somebody is up in that house with a little candle, he says the candles in all the other houses are out. People went to sleep. And even if somebody is up in that little house with a candle, it wouldn't be so bright. I hope it's not a fire. And Reb Baruch runs out of his house, across the yard, to the other house, and he goes to look through the window. Now, are you allowed to go and look through somebody's window if you know people are inside and they don't know that you're looking at them? Are you allowed to go snooping on people to see what they're doing? Of course not, Chas Shalom. But Reb Baruch is worried there's some kind of an emergency and people might be in danger and he just wants to see what's going on. So he looks through the window to see if there's any problem and he's got to help. And this is what Reb Baruch saw. Through the window, he saw the Baal Shem Tov. And all he knew about this man is he's some poor man with an old horse who schleps a wagon of cement, like a simple man. He did not know the Baal Shem Tov was anything special. The Baal Shem Tov is sitting on the floor with his hands towards the Shemayim, tears in his eyes. On his lap is an open siddur, and it had the words, Tikkun Chatzos. Do you know what's Tikkun Chatzos? There's a special prayer, a special davening, that big tzaddikim say, and special yidden say, in the middle of the night, and they cry, and do you know what this is about?
Beis HaMikdash.
Very good. It's about the Beis HaMikdash that Chas V'Shalom, unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Yerushalayim has been destroyed. And Eretz Israel. And unfortunately the Jews were sent out into Galus. Our Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And of course, we want Mashiach to come and the Geula and to go back to Eretz Israel and have everything to be just the way Torah wants it to be and Hashem wants it to be. And they cry. They cry about the Aveiros of the Jewish people and we want to go back to Eretz Israel. Ken Alach, next to the Baal Shem Tov was a very tall man. He looked like a Halakhic tzaddik, but he was not a regular man. He was made out of light. This tall man, made out of light, this is where the light was coming from. And Reb Baruch had never seen such a thing. What is that tall man made out of light? What is that? And because he was so surprised, and he never saw such a thing. Shh. All of a sudden, Reb Baruch did this. Ah! He let out a scream and he fainted. And the Baal Shem Tov heard it. And he ran over to the window. And he saw Reb Baruch laying down outside. And he ran outside to help Reb Baruch to wake up. And Reb Baruch woke up. And the Baal Shem Tov says, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, but I saw something. The Baal Shem Tov says, what did you see? I saw a tall man made out of light. Oh, the Baal Shem Tov says, If you were able to see him, then come in and I'll explain what you saw. Because Hashem has led you to see that, it must mean that you're zeichet to find out right now what it means. And now the Baal Shem Tov said, since you saw this, I will tell you what you saw. But you must keep this a secret. It is an absolute secret. You're not allowed to tell anybody, or else I won't tell you anything. And Reb Baruch says, please tell me. I didn't know you were a tzaddik. I thought you were a regular simple person, a wagon with cement. I thought you were a regular poor man. I didn't know you were a tzaddik. And the Baal Shem Tov says, shh, you have to treat me just like a regular poor man. Reb Baruch says, I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. You could stay here. I'll give you a house. I'll give you money. You can sit and learn. I would love to take care of you. You're a great tzaddik. The Baal Shem Tov says, forget about it. No one is supposed to know anything about me only because you looked through the window and you saw what you saw. It means Hashem let you see it. You will get to know the secret, but you must keep it a secret. And the Baal Shem Tov says to Reb Baruch, the man out of light that you saw, this was the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal of Prague came to me from the other world, and he said that he has to come down into the world again. His neshama has been called by Hashem out of Gan Eden to be born into the world again. The neshama will go into a brand new baby boy, and this neshama will be the neshama of the Maharal of Prague. And the reason that it's coming in down into the world is Hashem is sending it on a shlichus. It has a job to do, just like in the time of the Maharal, he helped Yidden that were in trouble. It is time that the Maharal will come again to help Yidden in trouble. But he will not come down as the Maharal of Prague. He will come down as somebody else. And the Baal Shem Tov looks right at the eyes of Reb Baruch and he says, you, Reb Baruch, are a great grandchild of the Maharal of Prague. And he told me that you and your wife will have a baby boy in 1 year, and you will get, and this baby boy will have the neshama of the Maharal of Prague. You, Reb Baruch, you are going to be zeiche, you will have the schus, the merit, you and your wife, to have the baby, that in this baby will be the neshama of the Maharal of Prague. And of course, Kinalach, Reb Baruch, his eyes are popping out of his head and his mouth is open. He can't believe it. Such a baby they're going to have? And he was so excited. And he was so happy. And he says to the Baal Shem Tov, please, I'll take care of you. I'll give you money. Why do you have to live like a poor man? And why don't you just sit and learn Torah? You wouldn't have to worry about a thing. No, no. Shh. Remember, this is a secret. And you treat me like any other guest or poor person, because now this is what Hashem wants for me. Boys, the next day, the Baal Shem Tov and his wife left with the new horsey and the wagon. Reb Baruch said goodbye to them and he thanked them very much. A year later, Reb Baruch's wife had a little baby boy. And the little baby boy, it came now time to make the bris on the eighth day. And Reb Baruch invited, of course you're not allowed to invite to a bris, he told people, we're going to make a nice bris, a beautiful meal, a suda, and he invited, and he told everybody to come, and he made a beautiful, big, big Suda, a big Suda's mitzvah, a bris. And of course, boys, it's very important that the poor people come. If somebody has the schus to make a chasana or a bar mitzvah or a bris, it's very important to have a table for poor people. Not just guests, not just your friends, not just rabbis, not just important people. You have to let poor people and beggars come to the simcha, and you have to be very happy that they're coming and give them delicious food. This is a very important minhag Yisrael. And Reb Baruch had, of course, everybody found out about the bris. Beggars came, lots of beggars came. And Reb Baruch noticed that amongst the beggars was the Baal Shem Tov, dressed up like a beggar. But he recognized, this is the Baal Shem Tov. Kenelach, they named the little baby Aryeh Leib. Now, the name of the Maharal was Yehuda Leib. Exactly why they did not name the baby Yehuda Leib, and they named him Aryeh Leib, maybe they had a boy already named Yehuda. Because it seems like Reb Baruch and his wife had other kinelach already. But they gave the name Aryeh Leib to the little baby, and the name Leib is because Reb Baruch knows that in this baby is the neshama of the Maharal, who also had the name Leib. Now kinelach, the minig was in that place that whoever wants by the bris comes over to the little baby and gives a bracha. Now, of course, friends of Reb Baruch wanted to give the little baby a bracha, and rabbis and rabbanim and important people and talmidei chachamim. Who do you think Reb Baruch wants to take the baby to, that this person should give a bracha to the baby? Who do you think?
Baal Shem Tov.
The Baal Shem Tov. But, of course, Reb Baruch knows he's not allowed to show anybody that the Baal Shem Tov is anybody special, and the Baal Shem Tov is over there by the beggars. Well, Reb Baruch wanted to just take the baby and go right over to the Baal Shem Tov. But the Baal Shem Tov saw that what he wanted to do, what he made with his hand a little bit, like, you know, watch yourself. You're not allowed to show anybody anything. You have to keep the secret. And so this is what Reb Baruch did. He took the little baby and he went around the room, all over the room, different people, to give a bracha to the baby. And he pretended that he's just walking. And all of a sudden he came right next to the Baal Shem Tov and he says, "Oh, please, I would like you to give the bracha." He says, "Please, I would like you to give a bracha to the baby." And he gave the Baal Shem Tov to come right next to the little baby. And of course the Baal Shem Tov is just going to pretend that he's a simple person, and he says, "I don't know how to give a bracha. I don't know how to do that. I really never learned how to do that." And Reb Baruch says, "You know, just say whatever you want. Say something." Okay. The Baal Shem Tov says, "I learned in Cheder about Avraham. Yeah, Avraham. My Rebbe, when I was a little kid, I went to the Cheder only for a little short time. After that, I couldn't go to learn in the Cheder. And I remember my Rebbe said something about Avram, that he was the Zaydi of all the Jews." Now, does it say in the Torah he is called the Zaydi or the Av, the father? Avram is called the father, right? The father, Hamoin Goyim. Avram is the father of great nations, of many nations. But Baal Shem Tov is pretending that he really doesn't know anything. So instead of saying the father, he says the Zaydi. He was the Zaydi of all the nations. My Rebbe said, Avram is the Zaydi. So I give a bracha that just like Avram was a Zaydi, he should be a Zaydi. And of course, people laughed, thinking that this beggar, you know, he doesn't know anything, so he gives a funny bracha to be a Zaidi. After that, the Baal Shem Tov went with all the beggars away. And Kinalach, people, like a joke almost, they would say, "How's the little Zaidi today?" They would call the baby the little Zaidi. Well, that little name stuck to the baby, and people called him the little Zaidi. And he grew up, of course, to be a big tzaddik, and he lived in the town called Shpala. And when he lived in the town called Shpala, of course, when he grew older, they called him the Shpala Zaidi. And that's how the Shpala Zaidi got his name, the Shpala Zaidi, from the bracha of the Baal Shem Tov. And of course, everybody knows stories about the Shpala Zaidi. Tomorrow, Mr. Shem, we'll have another story about the Shpala Zaidi.